church.
Oh, yes, and the junior church can go downstairs.
Testing. Oh, hello. So I'm going to give you a little quiz right now. So first of all, I need show of hands now that you're wide awake. I'm not going to hopefully squeak too much other than maybe these. I know there's some questions in your bulletin and stuff, but let's just show of hands. How many actually pray? Come on, you don't want to be that person in your bench to, you know, at least nudge them if they're not. So how many pray at meals? Anybody pray at a meal? How many pray silently? Anybody pray silently? Anybody pray out loud? Anybody ever done that? I don't mean at your children, like, please, Lord. No, maybe it was. How many in here have ever prayed for someone? Okay? Anybody ever prayed for something? Maybe patients or, you know, something like that? Has anybody in here ever been prayed over? Somebody actually laid hands on you. Okay. So how many have ever had a prayer answered? All right. How many have ever, how many have ever been disappointed by the answer? All right, good. All right, well, we can go home now. No. You know, the concept is, prayer should be a part of our daily lives, period. And so as I was looking at, you know, what do you tell a bunch of believers about prayer? Some of you could tell me about prayer. You know, the idea is so we're looking through, and I'm going to go through the who, what, when, where, why. So what? So think about all the familiar prayers that you've prayed. Now, I have not been in everybody's homes when they've prayed and all that stuff, but let's face it, probably somewhere on your wall, or at least uttered in the walls of your house, has been the Lord's Prayer, right? Okay? Now I lay me down to sleep. Is that familiar to anybody, that prayer? Okay? Anybody ever sung the Johnny Appleseed song, whether you're at camp or not? Okay? At our house, the favorites, Superman Prayer, the Shark, and the Rub-A-Dub-Dub. Okay? Now, you may have your own versions, but that's the way we roll at the Berkey Place. So then there's types of prayer, right? You know, when I was growing up, I completely thought prayer was to talk to God. I got it. But it wasn't really to talk. It was to ask. So for me, prayer was about asking for things. And I was one of those that was disappointed because for about 3 years, I prayed for a mini bike. I don't mean a miniature bicycle. I mean a mini bike that I could putz along the road. Now, I believe that my parents probably canceled out my prayer with the same fervor of not giving Dennis a mini bike, but I'm not for sure. But I had this mindset that prayer was about asking God for something for me. And that wasn't all wrong. It was just maybe the wrong motives. So I'm going to call them the shuns of why we pray. First one is adoration. We're going to praise God for who He is. I'm sorry, but if you have not praised God for the beautiful sunshine, sunrise, sunsets here lately, shame on you. Okay? This hasn't even been a hard winter. And I'm just going to tell you, man, it's just been beautiful. So adoration, praise God for who He is. Contrition. Contrition is the forgiveness prayer that I probably pray too much of these days or need to. The next shun is petition, when you're asking for something for yourself, a change in your life. Supplication. You're asking God to supply something, perseverance, patience, grace, strength, endurance. The last shun is intercession, where you're praying on behalf of somebody else. You're coming to the foot of Christ, asking something for someone else. And then one more type of prayer that's not a shun, it's thanksgiving. Thanking God for who He is and what He's done. Now, it's not about categories. I don't sit there and think, let's see, I've done adoration now, I check, and I need to keep going down the line. But there's a lot of reasons, especially more than what I used to think of as just asking God for something. So it brings us to the how and the when, and we talked a little bit about this already. How many in here have ever been taught that when you pray, you close your eyes, fold your hands, you bow your head? Anybody? Why? Some of that is closing your eyes. I don't know about you. In my classroom, I call them squirrel moments, where you're distracted, especially visually. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm talking to you wonderful people here, and I still notice that there's cars that go by every once in a while. I don't need much distraction. In a classroom, sometimes all a student needs is, as they're working, is to see somebody get up and just walk across the classroom to sharpen a pencil or something. And they're like, they completely forget what they do. Folding your hands. These hands like to move. I think part of that is God wants me to focus. He wants all of me. He doesn't just want my eyes. He wants my hands to stop. When I'm in conversation with Him, He doesn't want me still doing things. Now, I kind of helped my wife raise 4 children. And I always remember that, like, coming home was sometimes, like, the most challenging. So, like, we're talking about grocery shopping the other night. we had this really messed up view that all six of us had to go into the grocery store together. I don't know. Maybe we gave the security people a smile that day. I don't know. But usually my son Jordan would swear he was going to get sick because he was at Walmart. Something about, I don't know, we'd just pull in and he goes, I'm going to get sick. We're here. I'm going to get sick. But there was something about it, you know, after that long, you know, telling the kids no 14 times down the first aisle, and you're trying to hurry, and you get back in the vehicle, and you get home, and you're tired, and two of them are sleeping, which they shouldn't be, because then they won't sleep at night. Two of them should be sleeping, but they're not. And, you know, you got to come in, and you've got all these things, and you're doing 100 things at once. And that's usually when parents, your kids come up to you and they inform you of something for the next day. Hey, by the way, I need 2 dozen cupcakes for tomorrow. Right? Or they learn you're so busy that sometimes you just say things and you don't even know the conversation. Like, hey, Dad, can I have a friend over tomorrow night? Sure, whatever. Hey, where's this go? And then they get you later and you're like, I never said it. You're like, Dad, you said it right there in front of me. I know you did. So the concept here again is not being distracted. He wants us all. Now, bowing head, I think we can all say, is reverence. Although sometimes in church, I don't know, it's interesting to me, something about every church I've ever been in. You get to that age where, like, you're in the 9, 10, 11-year-old age, and then from about there to about mid-20s, 30s, have you ever noticed how you tend to start leaning forward during prayer or during the sermon? And then it maybe goes like this. And then, you know, later on, you get a little bit more smooth because then you lean back, you know. And it's kind of interesting, you know, the concept of bowing your head, closing your eyes, keeping your hands folded. Now, kneeling on knees. Anybody in here ever prayed on your knees before? Anybody? Okay. I remember growing up in this church, and we did that quite often. That's usually where my brother and I started. We used to actually have a minute hand back there, so we could actually time the pastor. Wow, it was, some of them were long. But, you know, we've done that too. That's out of honor. Corporate prayer. You know, we've had several of those today where people have prayed on behalf of all of us or prayed over us being here, those kind of things. Since my wife's not here, that's like her biggest fear, is praying corporately in front of people. I always say why, and she just gets mad at me. But anyways, you know, corporate prayer. How about this? Anybody in here ever prayed while you're driving? Hopefully not eyes closed, hands, and hopefully not that. But I've ever prayed, and it's usually you're praying for the person in front of you to hurry up. So you pray for the state of Michigan. I didn't say that. No. You pray while you're driving, or you pray while you're exercising, or you pray while you're walking. It fills your time. Now, I don't mean it as a time waster. I see it as a valuable tool to help me pass the time. My brother Ed, I've said many times, has shared with me, you know, the trip to and from Florida, you got a little bit of time in there. And I just find that if I don't fill my mind with good things like that, I'm going to fill my mind with a whole lot of other junk in there that shouldn't be there. Before meals, you know, giving thanks. There's nothing wrong with that. You have that battle, praying out loud or praying silent, okay? I missed my mark in here. I was going to give Orvin Hooley props. My brother and I remember that one time he had us kneel on our knees for almost 5 minutes. During one prayer, we timed it out. So I don't know if Pastor Carl wants to take that on as a challenge or not, but remember, we did that here. But, you know, we used to pray out loud at home, and I think my dad used to, out of the corner of his eye, watch us as we got ready to reach in because we knew he was about ready to be done. And then he, and God, we give you, we thank you. One more, and we're like, oh, come on, man. So at least we had those signals. Now, I know I'm not the only one, and some of you may pray quietly, but there's that always that awkward, you know, if you've been over to your Amish friend's house, there's that awkward silent prayer where, first of all, you realize that everybody's praying, and you're like, oh. And then you sit there, and you're like, and then somebody has a little awkward, oh, and now we can get going and eating, you know. We never knew exactly when to do that. I remember that the last time we had it was our Amish babysitter, her daughter got married, and it was a wedding. And I had to chuckle myself because the ministers over there, it was one of them that was designated, I would call him the designated coffer, that he coughed, and then everybody started eating and going like that, so. I don't know, maybe that's a new commission here, designated coffer. I don't know. But as we're talking about prayer, you know, I'm thinking, oh, this could be a great Sunday. I mean, pastor's not here. Let's just pop popcorn and watch War Room. I mean, come on. How much, you know, if you've never watched this movie, you need to. It's an awesome movie. But it's all about prayer, okay? You know, but let's go back to Scripture. Let's look into Scripture. And by the way, Cindy is awesome because she fought sickness and nerves and embarrassment with all those names this morning. And I told her this. I said, you know what? 99.9% of the people sitting in this room have no idea how to pronounce all those names. So you just sell it and go for it. She did an awesome job. But let's look in here. Verse 2. Depending on what version of Scripture you have, one of them says, in mine, devote yourself to prayer. I think it's a pretty straightforward thing. Devote. Devotion. You have this commitment to pray. It's expected. It is our connection to Jesus. Goes on to say, alert with eyes wide open, which is interesting because most of us, you know, close our eyes anyways. Having this purpose, being thankful, being grateful for what we're doing here. You ever find yourself praying out of duty? It's what you're supposed to do, like brushing your teeth in the morning. Okay, God, done that. Now I keep going. You know, the idea here is, as we look a little bit more at the why, I think Paul really slaps us in the face a little bit here. Paul gives us this why we're supposed to pray. And I can honestly say that I have prayed this, but I don't normally pray to Jesus with this mindset. In verses 3 through 6, he talks about praying for opportunities to share Christ. Praying for opportunities to share Christ. You know, the mindset here is very different than helping me through this day, praying for specific people. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but what I'm saying here is Paul is saying, I need to pray for those opportunities that you're going to give me. The message talks about praying for open doors for the gospel. Now that's a glass of cold, cold water slamming me in the face. There are times, especially as you have a relationship with somebody that maybe you know is struggling or maybe is not a believer, and you may pray that prayer. But on a daily basis, having a purpose of praying for that opening, for your chance, for your opportunity to share your testimony, to share what God has done in your life. It goes on, because Paul makes it even more clear in verse 3. The purpose is to share Jesus with others. Verse 4, he wants to be clearly understood. How many here have known that you wanted to say something, you knew you should say something, but you were scared about how it might come out or that you were going to stumble over the words? Am I the only one? Try preaching. You know, the mindset is this. Most of us are very aware of our shortcomings. And we want to put that up as a barrier. We want to place that in front of there. But praying about it, praying so that we are clearly understood by others. Verse 5, praying so we can live wisely amongst others. Be a model. Also in verse 5, making the most of that opportunity. There are times in each and every one of our days that we come across someone who needs God's touch. That's our opportunity. God has blessed us so much by allowing us to be His hands and feet and giving us those opportunities if we choose to take them. 5. Boy, do I need to pray this one. Be full of grace. As you are speaking, as you have that opportunity, you're not there to beat somebody down more. We already know our shortcomings. Be full of grace. I've said this before up here. We're all broken. What's inside of us spills out onto others. We are full of judgment and critical spirit and condemnation. That's what's going to be coming out there. Doesn't matter if Jesus' name is used or not. We're going to be pouring that on top of them. 6, season with salt. And we've talked about this down in high school class. Salt. You know, salt's used for so many things. But imagine life without salt. Popcorn, no salt. Pretzels, no salt. I mean, you can keep going on. Salt's a purifier. We want to have right. We want to have pure motives here. Verse 6. Respond well to correct questions. Now, this is my sixth grader's worst nightmare. Mr. Berkey makes them do a speech or something in front of the classroom. And then if they can get past that, they're like, whew. But then Mr. Berkey always says this. Does anybody have any questions for them? And you know, students are wonderful. Yeah, they're going to ask questions because they want them to answer and stay up there longer than they have to. Okay? Have you ever been asked a question about your spiritual life that you didn't know the answer to? And that's okay. That's okay. If you've got it all figured out, then we're probably up sitting in God's presence right now with His full knowledge. The understanding is we're all in this together. Some may know more than others, but the concept is we don't have to have the right. We just need to respond well. We don't need to, that's just not something for you to say. Think about that the next time you pray. Opening doors. Paul, what a great writer. In verses 2 through 18, he gives us specific examples of prayer. Verses 3 and 4, he asks prayers for himself. Not himself as in Dennis getting a mini bike, but having those opportunities, being full of grace, making the most of it, being the hands and feet. He prays for others, at least 10 people. I know Cindy thought it was at least 25 names she had to pronounce this morning, but there's at least 10 people specifically. Corporate prayer. He prays for at least 3 different churches here. And then he gives more specifics about each one. Prayers of encouragement. You know, I don't know about you. I don't think I can ever be encouraged enough. When you're sitting there and you're trying to deal with life and life's kicking you in the teeth and you're just struggling, encouragement can bring a lot of sunshine to your life. 2, those circumstances and opportunities. You know, he talks about, that's why I'm sitting here in chains. He doesn't sit here and go, God, get me out of this prison. He just wants to be used in that opportunity, in that circumstance. Three, comfort. Specific for comfort for people. We know we've prayed. We have people that are grieving for loved ones. We have people that are dealing with physical issues, past issues. He prays for people to stand firm. You know, husband and wives, have you ever, I hope, prayed for your husband and your wife to stand firm in their faith? Five, he even points out that one of the people was wrestling and struggling. We come across those people. Pray for them. Kingdom work, their ministry. Now, when you come up here and you talk about prayer, you gotta on the side, you gotta examine your own prayer life. I'm sorry, you have to. It's kind of like those of you that have been blessed by the opportunity of teaching a Sunday school class, you know that you get more out of lesson because you get deeper into the Word and you dig there and you want to have something positive and stuff to share. So I had to look at my own prayer life. And hear me, this is not, way to go, Dennis. So, one, I know one thing I pray for constantly is my family, all 53 of them. I don't know everything they're going through. They're not even physically in my presence a lot of time. But I know that I'm going to lift them up. Kind of got that from my dad. Two, I pray for my coworkers, even though they drive me absolutely insane sometimes. And I don't get along with them. That's not what the world teaches us to do. If you have a disagreement, you don't pray for them. You know, yes, you do. Dear Lord, make them sick next week. No, you pray for them. You ask God what they need, and you ask God what He needs you to do to help them. I pray for our church. I pray for churches in our community. I pray for our leadership. Kim, I don't know if I have the last updated one or not, but the one I have is the pink address. I don't know what the title of it is. Address and up, you know, list. There are 11 columns in there. And each morning I pray for a column. Now that doesn't make me any better than anybody else. But it does make me feel much more connected to this congregation. Shoreline has people to pray for every single week up in the front. There are always special requests. Now, here's your assignment for the week. If you open up your bulletin, if you haven't already, inside there's an acronym. It says prayer. Acronym is simply a way of stating something larger into this. So anybody know SCUBA? What does SCUBA stand for? Self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Thank goodness SCUBA fits, right? So prayer. Now, I'm not saying you have to do this right now, but what I'd like you to do is I'm going to give you some suggestions. So like I tell my students, take notes. P, prayer is our one-to-one personal time with Jesus. How awesome is that? Our creator, our sustainer, our redeemer, personal time. P could also stand for privilege. We've always heard that when Christ died and gave up his last breath, have you ever really thought about that next phrase in Scripture? It talks about the veil being torn. See, because he did that for us and the veil's torn, that gave access to everybody. It's a privilege to be able to pray and be in his presence. R. I put down real. ever try to hide something from God? Beat around the bush a little bit while you're praying? Be real. He wants you to be real. Why hide anything from him? He knows. Feelings, thoughts, anger. You ever read the Psalms? He can handle it. A, take your pick. Anywhere, anytime, accessible. He's 24/7, 365, 4G, 5G, no dropped, no set hours. He's there for you. Why? I put it down as yours. Yours are important, they're necessary, and they are expected. To have a relationship with anybody, you have to be connected. You have to converse and you have to talk. E, take your pick. Encourage, exalt, eagerly. Look forward to talking with Jesus, hearing what he has to say back. R, receive guidance, answers, direction, help, or respond. Listen to what God tells you to do. Now, as I thought of a way to kind of wrap up today, I don't do this all the time, everybody, but a few weeks ago I was cleaning our house. I make a mess, so I help clean. Now, most days when I scrub our floors, I kind of do the sweep it with a broom or sweep it with the sweeper and then do the mop over the top. And it looks pretty good, okay? Some reason this day, I was down on my knees with a bucket, big old towel. I was scrubbing, you know, with a hand. And, you know, normally I thought I did a pretty good job and all that, but I had this revelation, okay? As I was down on my knees, I had a much better look and perspective, and I realized that I had been missing some things. My view changed when I was on my knees, and I began to see much more clearly the dirt that needs removed in my life. And just how hard I had to scrub and how